Dear loving and gracious Lord God, we have sat at your cradle. We have seen the outcasts and the learned worship at your feet. Today we are witnesses to your baptism by water in the Holy Spirit. And we are baptized with you so that our old selves die and we can be made new in you, in Christ. Help us always to remember that it is not we who live, but you who lives in us. And we step into the water to live out our call as your disciples. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name through the power of the Holy Spirit and only by the grace and mercy of God the Creator. Amen. Please be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I read a lovely reflection for this Sunday. It goes like this. Runaway slaves followed the North Star to the Ohio River, called the Big Water because they heard there was freedom on the other side. Not every slave made the choice to cross the water. It was dangerous and the currents were strong, and slave owners could pursue them. But if the slaves made it through the Big Water, there would be friends on the other side to help them enter their new life. And this is what Jesus offers us, new life on the other side, freedom. Jesus did not need baptism for his own freedom, but submitted to baptism for the sake of believers who would come after and follow his example. And just as those runaway slaves made a decision to step into the cold water on their way to freedom, we too must choose. What do we choose? Freedom or slavery, blessing or curse, life or death. For those who make the journey, Jesus is the friend who, as an act of obedience of love, already went down into the water to the other side and stands waiting on the shore to help us into new life. And when Jesus showed up at the river that day to be baptized, the crowds were filled with undesirables, all of them hoping that John could clean them up and give them a new lease on life. Because none of them had any illusions about the state of their lives. They knew they were guilty. They knew they had nothing to lose by having this wild prophet dunk them and proclaim their innocence. And they stood. This is a beautiful picture. Use your imagination. They stood with Jesus waiting his turn to step into the cool water of the Jordan. The same Jordan that Joshua, Jesus' namesake, so many years ago, had led the people into the promised land. Hot and dusty from the Galilean countryside. How refreshing it would have been to submerge his body, his whole body, and arise clean and refreshed. The crowds heard John preach that day, but they became spectators to something much larger. John was preaching a baptism of repentance, of confessing sin and returning into a right relationship with God. John had pre-warned the crowd that he would baptize them with water, but that someone greater will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. In other words, what was going to happen would go farther than a ritual cleansing, a dunk in the water. The person coming was going to separate the chaff from the wheat with a pitchfork. The outer part, the chaff, the fake piety, the outward signs of commitment would be burned, because it was the inner part of the grain, the useful part of the wheat, that God would bring into his holy barn and use for his saving work. John was offering an outward sign of commitment. The inward commitment was on his way. And no sooner had John spoken than he looks way up, and in front of him is the one that he was born to announce. Imagine the surprise on John's face when he saw Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, stepping into the muddy waters of the Jordan. Jesus beginning his public ministry by wading into the water where livestock were watered, and dishes and clothes were washed, asking his cousin John, the first prophet in 400 years, to baptize him. Not because Jesus had sinned. Not because Jesus needed to repent. Not because he wanted to impress crowds or the religious leaders. But because he was obeying his Abba. It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. Jesus understood his baptism as advancing God's kingdom. He was demonstrating obedience. He was so connected, so deeply in tune to the wishes of God that he could not have done otherwise. And Jesus was showing the people of Israel that in this single dramatic act, he was acknowledging the sins of the nation, acknowledging what John was doing, and beginning the walk to the cross. Because death is a key component of baptism. In baptism, signed as Christ's own forever, marked with a cross, sealed, signed with the symbol of death, claims us. And this death is dying to the world, to our puny egos, so that we may be alive to the kingdom of God. And Paul sums it up in Galatians 2:20, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that day at the river, Jesus was asking the crowds and us to go deeper, go under the water, let the waters of baptism drown us and wipe away any trace of our former selves. Because baptism is the gift given to us that we may live and breathe and have our being in Christ. Not beside, not behind, not around, not above, but in Christ. If only we could grasp a fraction of what that would look like, the church would overthrow the powers and principalities and defeat the powers of darkness forever. Live and move and breathe and have our being in Christ. You know, but so often we chose to stay at the water's edge, to hang back with the rest of the crowd. We want to sit on the lawn chairs and let others jump in and get wet. We don't want to take a risk of faith that says, I belong to God Almighty, who created me to be open to his power and glory, working through me and in me so that I can be his disciple. And in the moments following the baptism, Jesus comes out of the water and something supernatural happens. The heavens opened. Heavens opened. And Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. The text says that only Jesus saw the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descending. It was an incredible, intimate, personal moment between Jesus and his heavenly Father. And it was a moment of affirmation and confirmation that God was on the move, that his plan for creation was culminating in the long-awaited Messiah. 4,000 plus years of waiting, of holding to the promise that God is coming to the rescue and was entering into human earthly history. Jesus, God called. Jesus listened and obeyed. God called Jesus from the shadows of obscurity as a carpenter. And he said, here I am, Lord. This moment is all about being and doing what you require of me, Lord. And Jesus baptized to show us that there comes a time when we have to come out of the shadows, when we need to step out in faith, when we need to take a risk, when we need to say, Lord, here I am. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the Christian life is made up of hundreds of these baptismal moments or opportunities when we are required to step out, to come forth and be counted as Christ's own forever. Our only desire is to step forward, to always be ready, willing, and able to be Christ's hands and feet. And there will be times when we are called as individuals, and there will be times when we are called as the body of Christ. And the Christian walk is discerning those times and stepping forward and answering the call. Great men and women throughout Scripture seized the God moments, and God's plan for his people were satisfied. Abraham answered the call, obeyed, and went to a foreign land. Noah answered the call and built a boat so that a remnant of creation could be served, preserved. Joseph answered the call and forgave his brothers so that God could use their evil deeds for good. Mary answered the call and subjected herself to ridicule, scorn, and possible death so she could bear the light of the world. 120 disciples gathered in a room in Jerusalem and answered God's call, and the church was born. A young man named Stephen answered the call, spoke up for Jesus, and paid with his blood. Paul answered the call and spent his life proclaiming Christ crucified. And Jesus answered God's call to his baptism, and the world was changed forever. One sentence spoken 2,000 years ago over the waters of the Jordan: "This is my son, chosen and marked by my love, the delight of my life." That's from the Message. This is a love note from God, given to Jesus, but meant for all of us. "You're my family. I love you, and I am with you always." And God knows that life is tough. Things don't always turn out as expected. Loved ones die, friends betray us, and people will disappoint us. To all the stuff that is thrown at us, take heart and remember that God is an awesome God who loves us so completely that he opened the heavens and sent Jesus so we would know unconditional love. And Jesus knew this, and he knew that he had to begin God's call in water and fulfill it on the cross. So will you step out? Will you walk into the cool water and finally, without hesitation, say, "I am God's beloved child. He loves me unconditionally, and I receive his love"? Do I hear an amen for that one? Come on, that's worth it. Amen. Well, I know we don't do that very often, but sometimes it's appropriate. I'm not trying to take you anywhere weird, okay? Although, never mind. Will you then take up your cross and become his disciple? My prayer for each of you is that you will joyfully seize God's call on your life, drink the living water that Jesus offers, and begin a new life in Christ again today. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, thank you for the gift of baptism, the sign of our new life in Christ. Lord, today we open our eyes so that we can see you. Open our hearts that we can know you. And open our minds so we can experience you. Create in us a clean spirit. Renew, refresh, reform, and change us from the inside out. And we take pleasure knowing that we are God's beloved sons and daughters, and God delights in us. And we boldly proclaim this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.